Okay, today's daf is Nida daf Chav Zayin. We left off on daf Chav Vav Amid Beis, and we're discussing the Tumah status of a filia. Today's shiur is once again sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. We thank him very much for the continued sponsorship. So we're on Chav Vav Amid Beis. We are at Boi Minei Rabbi Yossi Ben Shaul Mei Rebbe. So a few lines up from the bottom of the page. The last words on line are Ben Shaul, Rabbi Yossi Ben Shaul. So about seven lines up from the end of the page. So we're discussing the tumah status of a shilya, but specifically we're talking about when you could be tola a shilya bivlad, meaning there was some sort of vlad that came out, and then at some point later a shilya came out. Do we assume that that shilya had its own vlad associated with it, or do we assume no, that shilya was part of the other vlad or went along with the other vlad? And the nafkamina obviously is as far as tumas leida is concerned. Do we have to be concerned that there was a second leida over here? The Gemara then is going to discuss. It's going to show a more elaborate discussion between the Tanaim about Tumas Ohel of a Shilya. We had a Machlokas Tanaim, whether Shilya Babayis, Habayis Tamei or not, or we do not assume the Bayis is Tamei. So we're going to have a little bit of a more elaborate discussion as to what the arguments are in either direction. And that's going to lead us into a discussion of Tumas Rekev, that there's a certain type of Tumah called Tumas Rekev under certain conditions, that the decomposed matter of a dead body will also be mitame. And then the Gemara is going to discuss why Rabbi Shimon is mitaher the Shilya. We're going to go back to the Shilya issue and talk about specifically Shitas Rabbi Shimon. So let's begin. We are again about seven lines from the end of the page on Daf Chav Vav and Beis. So Rabbi Yosef ben Shaul asked the following shayla to Rebbe. Hamapelas tumus orev vishilya mahu. What if a woman is mapelas tumus orev? She miscarries that which looks like a raven, and then a shilya comes out. So what's the din? Do we assume that the shilya relates to that tumus orev that she was already mapil, or are we choshesh that the shilya is associated with another vlad? Bigzain shilya below vlad. So amalei ain tolin el b'davar sheish b'mino shilya. That we're only tolin a shilya with a vlad if that min, that she was mapil, is the kind of thing that has a shilya, that when a that animal is born, it normally is born with a shilya, like an adam, a behema, or a chaya. But if one is if a woman is mapil an oaf, we're not told of the shilya in that oaf, because an oaf doesn't have a shilya generally. So in such a case, even within 3 days, we're told that the shilya must belong to another vlad, and that vlad has been nimoach. That vlad must have been disintegrated. It said that's how Rashi understands. It sounds from Rashi that if she's mapil d'mus behema v'chaya, so since a behema v'chaya do have a shilya, so then we're told of the shilya in that behema v'chaya, and we're not choshesh for another vlad. The problem then is, it would turn out that Rebbe is soser that which Rav Yosef said in the name of Rav, that we're not told a shilya with anything that's eino shel kayama, and that means something that's able to live if it's kalu lo chadash, if it had a full pregnancy. If a woman is mapil of tsuras behema, there's no way that that's going to be a bar kayama. So how could we be told a shilya in that, in behema v'chaya? So that's a kasha that a number of the achronim work on, that the Rashi and the Aruch Liner work on whether it's possible to reconcile these two statements. But simply, the Pshat in the Gemara over here seems to be that had this Shilya come out after she was Mapil, Dmus Behema V'chaya, Enochinami, we'd associate this Shilya with the Behema V'chaya. It's only because it's an oaf, that it's an Orev, that we're not going to associate the Shilya with the Orev. So Rav Yosef then presses further and asks Rabbi, Kishura Baumahu, what if the Shilya was tied up with the Orev that she was Mapil? So maybe then you would say they have to be associated with each other, they're bound together. You're asking about something that's impossible, that can't ever happen, and therefore it's a pure theoretical, it's hypothetical, that would never happen, it's not something we have to deal with. So the Gemara asks on Rabbi, Eisvei, Rebbe said it's impossible that a shilya is kshura with the dmus of ofos, with that which looks like an oaf. The Ritva writes that the Makshan is Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul. So he was Masupuk. Maybe this Brisa is not the halacha. He was asking a Rebbe from this Brisa because Rebbe said that it's a davar she'ef shay that could ever be that a shuliyu would be kshur about. So from this Tana, we're not trying to prove what the halacha is. We're just trying to prove what the metzius is, that it's possible. So he challenges as follows. He says, Hamapelis min behema chayu va'of. If a woman is mapil nefel that looks like a behema chayu or of, the shilya imahen, and there's a shilya that comes out together with them, bizman shashilya kshura imahen, ein choshen levlad acher. If the shilya is tied up with them, so then we're not choshesh for another vlad to assume that the shilya had its own vlad that was nimalach, and therefore if the leda was without any dam, the woman is going to be tahora, because it's not that when they weren't choshesh for a vlad, it's a tumas leda without riya. If we were choshesh for a vlad, there would be Tumas Leida, even without Riyas Dam, but if there was Dam, then we'd be Choshesh for Tumas Nida. But over here, it's neither a Vlad nor Dam. But ain't Shuli Yekshuri Man Choshen Vlad Acher. But if there was no Shuli with them, then we have to be Choshesh that maybe there was another Vlad. Sareni Matil Alehen Chomer Shnei Vlados. We have to apply the Chumras of two Vlados, the Vlad of the Shulia and the Dumus of the Behema, because Shani Omer Shemini Moach Shvir Shel Shulia V'Nimocha Shulia Shel Shvir, that we have to be Choshesh that maybe the Shvir that belonged to that Shulia has been disintegrated. So there was another Vlad in the Shilya, and that Vlad is disintegrated. And maybe Nimocha Shilya Shel Shvir, the Shilya that went with this Vlad that looks like the Demus Behema, also disintegrated. And therefore, if the Demus Behema is a male, we're choshesh that the Vlad of the Shilya that's Nimoch might have been in a Nekeva. And this woman that was Mapil would have to have the Yimei Tumah of a Nekeva, she does not have the Yimei Tohar of a Nekeva, just the Yimei Tohar of a Zachar, because it's a Safek whether there was a Vlad Acher in the Shilya. Maybe the Shilya was the same Demus of the Behema, which is a Min Zachar. So from the fact that the Brisa just even mentions Bizman Shah Shilya Kshuri Imahen, so you see that it's possible that a Shilya would be Kshura B'Demus Of, that they would be connected. So that's a Kasha on Rabbi, who said that it's a Dover She'ef Shah. He said it's something that's impossible. So says Mar Tiyufta. So that's in fact a tiyufta on Rebbe, because Rebbe denied the existence of such a thing. Again, the kasha is only in the fact that he said it's impossible, not the fact that he says that a davar sheyesh b'mino shulya, we're told of the shulya in the thing that has b'mino shulya. The Brisa says if it's a suffix, we're told of it's a suffix whether we're told of the shulya in that which has b'mino shulya, in the behema or the chayah or not. The reason we're not asking from the halacha that the Brisa is saying that you see that it's a suffix is because Rav Tanahu Paluk, so the kasha is only on what Rebbe says that it's a davar she'eino. The Brisa could be that it just shows that it's a davar she'yeshno, that it's something that's possible to happen. Okay, Amar Rab Bar Shila, Amar Rab Masna, Amar Shmuel. Maisa v'talu as a shulia b'vlad. One time there was a maisa, and they were told the shulia that came out after a vlad in the vlad that was already born ad asar yamin, even though it was 10 days later after the vlad came out, and they were not choshesh that it was another vlad. Not only that, lo amru tolin el b'shulia haba'a achar vlad. But this idea that any shulia that comes out, we're going to associate it with a vlad that's born around the same time as it, is only if the shulia comes out after the vlad. But if the shulia comes out before the vlad, then we assume the shulia had its own vlad, and the vlad that came out later is a separate vlad. So amr rab bar b'chana, amr rab yochanan, ma'isa v'tolu as shulia b'vlad, ad esrim u'shloshi yamim. One time they were even told that the shulia was associated with the vlad 23 days later. Amr le Rav Yosef, ad esrim v'arba'a amritlan. So Rav Yosef says, you taught us 24 days later. That's not just 23 days. It's even more. So Amr Rav Acha b'reid Rav Avira, Amr Rav Yochanan, ma'isa v'nishta ha'vlad achar leidas chavero shloshim u'shloshi yom. One time the vlad, one vlad came out after its twin was born 33 days later, meaning there were a woman who was pregnant with twins, one baby came out 33 days later. Amalei Rav Yosef, Shloshim Arba Amritlan. So Rav Yosef said to Rav Acha Breid Rav Avira, you told us that it was 34 days later on a different occasion, that it's not only 33 days later. It's amazing that in both of these situations, the Amorayim made a mistake by one day. So it could be, the Chronim point out, that they're both correct, that Rabbi Yochanan didn't say 24 days or 34 days. He said 23 or 30 or 33, but he meant 23 full days or 24, which meis la'eis, which turns out to be 24 days, meaning parts of 24 days, or 33 full days meis la'eis, which turns out to be part of 34 days. So it turns out that there's no stira between what Rav Yosef said to what was the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan. So ad chavdalid yom, that's also true. That's how the Aruch Lener understands the conversation over here, that it's just a matter of how you formulate it, of how you say it. Sometimes when we give numbers in Chazal or in Halacha, the numbering system is a little bit different. Like when I teach Chassanim all the time, so you talk about the days that a woman has to wait before she can start counting the Shiva Nikiyin. So the basis of it is that a woman is Paleta Shechva Zara for 72 hours. So they always say, okay, so she has to wait 3 days before start counting. No, 72 hours means 4 days automatically, right off the bat, because 72 hours is always parts of 4 days. And then Ashkenazim add a fifth day also. But the point is that sometimes, just in the words that we use, or for example, we talk about the Ona Beninus is 30 days. So when it comes to Vestos, you wait 30 days for an Ona Beninus. 30 days, unless you all like Chavos Das, we generally assume 30 days really means what in English we would call 29 days later. It means if the woman had a Riyas Dam on January 1st, then on January 30th is her Ona Beninus. That's 29 days later. So you have to be careful just in the terminology that we use. So even in Chazal, we see over here that sometimes they would use different terminology to describe the same thing when they're talking about X number of days. So now the Gemara asks on Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara makes this assumption throughout Shas that there are two types of pregnancy that a human being can have. That a person can be pregnant for a 7-month pregnancy and it's perfectly healthy, or for a 9-month pregnancy, which is a perfectly healthy pregnancy. But the machlokas is, when going through a 9-month pregnancy, is it possible to be yoledes? Is it possible to have only 8.5 months of pregnancy and still have a baby that's not a nafel, still have a baby that's going to survive, or do you have to be mashlim the 9 months mamish? Do you have to fill the 9 months? So if you assume that a yoledes letisha, that a woman who has a 9-month pregnancy is yoledes mekutayin, is that it can have an 8.5-month pregnancy really, so then it could be that the babies are 33 days apart. Why? Because one of them had a complete pregnancy at the end of 7 months of pregnancy, 1 or 2 days before the end of the 7th month, and one at a Gemar Tzura at the beginning of the 9th month. So that's how they're 33 days apart. But if you're going to hold that a 9-month pregnancy can never be l'mekutayin, it's got to be 9 full months. Michael Lemaymer, how are you going to explain how these babies are 33 or 34 days apart? You can't say that they were both in the 7th month, because there is no 33-day month. And you say the one was born at the end of the 7th month, then and the other one at the end of the 9th month, so that's way more than 33 days. So, and one can't be born at the end of the 7th month and the other one at the end of the 8th month, because if you're born in the 8th month, you're not going to live. So the fact that we call it a vlad and not a nefel sounds like we're talking about a bar kayama, right? The story was told, nishta havlad achar chaveru shloshim shloshayom. If we would have said it was a nefel 33 days later, so that would be no problem. But we're calling this a vlad, so vlad sounds like it's these babies survived. So epoch shmeitza shloshim ushlosha l'shilia esrim ushlosha l'vlad. So it says, well, you have to switch around the two teachings that we had. We had one there where there was a 23-day discrepancy between them, and one, there was a 33-day one. The 33-day one was about the Shilya. That was a case where a baby was born, and then the Shilya came out 33 days later, and we're still told of the Shilya on the Vlad that came out beforehand, 33 days earlier. But when the one we're talking about, two Vlados that came out at a with a gap between them, that was only a 23-day gap, and they were both in the seventh month, and we assume that a Yoledes L'Shiva is definitely Yoledes L'Mekutayin, that a Yoledes L'Shiva could definitely be any time in the seventh month, that you don't need a full 7 months in order for it to be a Bar Kayama, and that's how they were born. It's counterintuitive. You would think the shorter the pregnancy, that it cannot be L'Mekutayin, but that's what Chazal assumed, that when the baby's on the seven-month track, then it could be L'Mekutayin, it could be any time in the seventh month. But on the nine-month track, you need the full 9 months. This is obviously something, it seems obvious, Rosh Pash writes this in a tshuva, so already in early tshuvas they say that this is obviously something that's nishtanu ativim, that we no longer need the full 9 months in order for a woman to have a baby that's going to survive, and it doesn't seem that the seven-month pregnancy produces a baby that's fully formed. We don't seem to have that too frequently. So there are a lot of things in Chazal, particularly when it comes to Maseches Nida, that we assume that Nishtanu Ativin. The Gemara makes the assumption that every woman has a Veses Kavua, that every woman is 100% regular to the point that they can pinpoint to the hour that they're going to be Roed Dam. So that's not true anymore. Now any woman who has a Veses Kavua, it's only because she's taking pills that regulate and give her a Veses Kavua, but most women would not have a Veses Kavua. The Gemara assumes that in the first 3 months of pregnancy, a woman continues to bleed regularly, continues to get her period regularly. That's obviously not the case anymore. Sometimes there's a little bit of bleeding during pregnancy, but it's a result of other things. It's not a regular cycle that she's having. The Gemara assumes that throughout 24 months after having a baby, a woman would never bleed. It can't possibly happen that she's going to get her period within 24 months of pregnancy. Most women way before 24 months after pregnancy are already back to the regular cycles, even if they're nursing, especially if they're not nursing. The Gemara assumes even if they're not nursing. So the impact of each of those changes in Teva on the halacha has to be looked at in each individual case. And it is, you know, the poskim discuss all of these issues and how they impact the halacha b'zman hazeh. Meaning, as far as when a woman is roed dam with pregnancy and nursing, so that's an issue of vestos. You have to be choshish for vestos when she's mislekes dam. You don't. But what if she's not really mislekes dam according to the halacha, but she is in reality? So that's discussions in poskim. So anyway, so that's what the Gemara is assuming over here, that in a 7 month pregnancy it could be yodas l'muktayin, and because of that, there could be a 23-day discrepancy between the birth of the two children. So Amar Rav Avin Bar Ada, Amar Rav Menachem Ish Kfar Sha'arim, Va'amri La Beis Sha'arim, Ma'isa V'Nishta Vlad Echad Achra Chaveru Shlosha Chadashim. Forget about 23 days. In 3 months, we once had a difference between two twins that were born 3 months apart from each other. Va'areim Yoshim Ulfanein Beis HaMedrash. And those twins are right here in the Beis HaMedrash. U'mayin Inu, Yehuda V'Chizkiya B'nei Rabbi Chiyah. The Yehuda V'Chizkiya, Rabbi Chiyah's sons, were these two. The Rav had said Chavavim Beis that Ein Vlad Misake Vacher Chaveru Klum, and over here you see that it's 3 months later. So Tosa suggests that Rav didn't say that it's not possible. He just meant that it's not matzvei, that it's not common, and that you're not choshesh that a shilya that came out after a Vlad was from a different Vlad because it's so uncommon. But in a chinami, it is possible, and they actually had such a case where two babies survived where they were 3 months apart from each other. Tosa Rush suggests a different answer, that if it's a Vlad Shel Kayama, so then it could wait way longer after its twin is born. When Rav says one is not going to be Misakev Acher Chavero, it means when the second one is a Nefel. It's not Shaykh that a Nefel would stay inside for a long while after the first baby. The Ramban says a third possibility, that Rav is also Moda, that a Tipa will divide into two, and one of them will have a Gemar Tzura in the seventh month, and the other one after 9 months, like the case of these twins. But that's only in such a case. But when when they're nigmar and nolad in the same month, so then they're nolad together. Meaning, if there are two different tracks, one's on the 7 month pregnancy track, one's on the 9 month pregnancy track, so that's fine. That could happen. They'll be born 3 months apart from each other, because the 7 month pregnancy could even be 6 months in a day, and the 9 month pregnancy has to be the full 9 months. So that could happen very easily. But when they're born closer to each other, then it can't happen that one is going to be ma'akev achar chavera. That's how the Ramban understands. Now the Gemara assumes that it's impossible that two vlados are going to have 3 months apart from each other unless there were two separate pregnancies. So frankly, the Gemara, wait, how could there be two separate pregnancies? Meaning they were conceived at two separate times, the Gemara is assuming. I thought a pregnant woman cannot become pregnant again. So how is it that she was able to hold two babies at the same time and one of them was born 3 months later? Isn't it that there was a second pregnancy that started 3 months after the first? They were conceived at the same act of bia, and that tipa that came from the man split into two, and it started two different pregnancies that were on two different tracks, and one was on the 7 month track, one was on the 9 month track. Okay, shilya bebayis habayis tamei. So going back to what the Mishnah said that if there's a shilya in a house, then the house is tamei with the oel ameis, because you assume that there was a baby in that shilya, we just can't find it right now. Rabbi Shimon says, no, you could assume that the baby had already disintegrated before it was ever born, and therefore it's nisbatel in dam leida, it's not metamei the bayis. But what about when it was inside the mother and the mother was in the house? No, that's tumah balua. Even if it was dead at that point, it's tumah balua, and that would not be metame the house because it's totally inside of the mother. So only when the baby comes out does it matter. So if at the point that it came out it was already nimoach, then it's not a dead body, so it's not going to be metame the house. So Tan Rabbanan, Shilya Babayas Habayas Tameh. But when there's a Shilya in the house is Tameh. Lo Sha Shilya Vlad. Not because the Shilya is a Vlad. Ela She'in Shilya She'in Vladi Ma. It's because every time there's a Shilya, there's always a Vlad with it, and that Vlad is Mitame the house. Divra Meir. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Mitarin. And Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon are all Mitarin the house. So Amru Lo, Lira Meir, this group of Chacham said to Rabbi Meir that I Atamoda Shimotzi Uhu Basefel Lebes Achitzon. Tar, wouldn't you be moded that if they took this shilya out while it was in a seifel, in some sort of kli, into to another house, that the bayis hachitzon is going to be tahar, that it's not going to be tameh, because the apparently seifel is the way they would take it from one place to the other, and the chiddush over here is even if you don't take it by hand, you assume that by manipulating it at all, by moving it at all, it's going to fall apart, and therefore by the time you take it to the bayis hachitzon, it's already to some other house. Bayis hachitzon over here is not referring to anatomically a part of a woman, it is throughout Maseches Nidah. Over here, Bayis Hachitzon means an actual house that's in a different location. So just by moving it, it's going to fall apart, and therefore it's going to lose all of its tumah. So Amar Lahen, Aval. So Rav Meir says, yeah, I agree to that. So V'lama, why do you assume that it's Tahar in such a case? Why is the Bayis Hachitzon any different than the original Bayis that it was that it appeared in? Lefi She'eno, because in the second house, it already is Nimoach. It's already disintegrated from being handled. So Amar Lo, V'cham Setz Rav Meir, Shem She'eno, just like it's already nimoach when it's in the bayis hachitzon, it's already nimoach when it's in the bayis hapnimi. Before it even came out of the womb, it was already nimoach. So Amalan Rameir said to the Chum, no, eno doma nimok pamachas lenimok shtei pamim. It's one thing if it went through one trauma, that will not cause it to be fully nimoach. So the birthing itself of this of this shilya and the dead baby, that will not cause it to disintegrate. But when you move it again, that will cause it to disintegrate and become batel in whatever dam and whatever else that it's mixed in with. So the Gemara explains Rabbi Shimon. So Yosef Rav Papa Achori Rav Bibi Kameid Rav Hamnuna V'Yosef Ka'amar. Rav Papa was sitting behind Rav Bibi. Rav Bibi was more chashuv than him, apparently, in front of Rav Hamnuna, and Rav Papa was saying the following: my time is Rabbi Shimon. Why does Rabbi Shimon hold that the bias is tahar? After all, the entire body of the dead baby is here. So it should be like rekev or netzel of a mace that are metame. You don't need the mace to be intact in order for it to be tame. Rekev is the dirt of the rotted of the decomposed body. Netzel is the basar mace that's that's disintegrating and becomes just like a gooey substance. So that also is bitame. So if an answer kasavar called tumash nisari b'mimin acher betela, that when you mix the tumah with something else, even if it's another min shel tumah like dam leida, it's going to become batel. So the shvir of this shilya that's nimoach is not going to be mitame because it's mixed in with dam leida, and the dam leida is therefore mivatel. But that's the shita of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Meir holds that the basra mace is not yet disintegrated when it comes out into the avira olam. It's only when you then move it again that it becomes totally absorbed in the dam that it's with. So Amrulu Rav Papa. So Rav Papa says to Rav Bibi and Rav Hamnuna, Hainu Nami Tamayet Rav Yudav Rav Yossi. That's also the reason that Rav Yudav and Rav Yossi go along with Rabbi Shimon in being mitaher the bias. So Achiku Alei, they laughed at Rav Bibi and Rav Hamnuna that they let them know this. So Maishna Pshita, meaning of course, meaning we presented them as one Shita. We said Rav Meir held one way, Rav Yossi, Rav Yudav, Rav Shimon were mitaher. So obviously, I'm telling you the Shita of Rav Shimon. I'm also telling you the Shita of Rav Yossi and Rav Yudah. What's the chiddush? So I'm Rav Papa. Rav Papa says no. Afilu ki hamilsa leme inish velo nishto kame rabbe. Even something like this that makes people laugh at them, a person should say and not be quiet in front of his rabbi and say that I understood this on my own because the mishum shenemar im navalta b'isnase vim zamose yad lepeh. If you lower yourself for divrei Torah, so ultimately you'll be lifted up. And if you're quiet, then because you're concerned about your dignity, then ultimately you're going to have to put your hand over your mouth. You're not going to know how to answer people. So, meaning the point is, even if you say something silly, you have to not be bashful, and you have to try to ask questions of your rebbeim, and ultimately the indignities will go away, and you'll be someone who's ultimately respected. So the Gemara tells us that Rabbi Shimon was mitar the shvir because it was mixed with the dam leida. So says Gemara, Vaz Rabbi Shimon l'tamei. This is Rabbi Shimon. Lishitaso, that Zitanya, we have another brisa, Melo Tarvid Rekev. If you have a spoon or a ladle full of Rekev of a mace, which is the shear of Melo Tarvid, is the shear of Rekev that's Metame, Shenofalotocho Ofar Kol Shuhu, and then a little bit of regular dirt falls into it. Tame, it's tame because you're not missing out on the sheer rekev, but Rabbi Shimon mitaher. Rabbi Shimon says, no, there's a foreign substance mixed in with it. If there's a foreign substance mixed in with it, it becomes batel. It no longer has the status of rekev ames. So my time is Rabbi Shimon. Why does Rabbi Shimon hold this way? Amarabba ashkachtinu l'rabbanu d'bei rav. They found the talmidim of the Beis Medrash to yasvi v'kaamri that were saying that even when it's rov rekev, at some place in that ladle, there are two granules of regular dirt that are sandwiching one granule of rekev, and in that spot, it's being mevatel berov, that tiny bit of rekev. So if you just had the minimum shear of rekev, a melo tarvud, now part of it is batel by being mixed with this dirt. V'chasirle, and therefore you're missing the shear of a melo tarvud that you need for rekev to be mitame. So similarly over here, it can't be that there's one place where dam aleda is not marba on the dam shvir, and therefore is mevatel the shvir in that one place, and therefore you don't have the full shear of a shvir to be mitame. V'amin elahu, so Rabba said to the Rabban de Beirav, Ad Rabba, if shal yirbu shtei predos rekev, I'll pray the achas afar v'nafesh le'shiura. I would say the contrary, that you now have a larger shear because that dirt is surrounded by more rekev than there is that foreign dirt. So it's mevatel the dirt, and therefore the dirt is now mitstarif with the rekev. So now you have a larger shear. They're both true. It's a question of how you look at it. So Ella Amar Rabba Hainu Taimid Rabbi Shimon. So Rabba says, based on that, I have to say that there's a different svara for Shitas Rabbi Shimon. That why does Rabbi Shimon hold that the house is not going to become tame when there's a shulia babayis? It's sofo kitchilaso. Or why is it that he holds that you have melo tarvid rekev and a little bit of dirt falls into the Melot Arvid Rekev, that the Rekev is no longer going to become Tamei, it's because Sofo Kitchilaso, the Sof of this Rekev, that something else was mixed in with it, is like something that was mixed in before it ever became Rekev. Matchilaso Nasalo Davar Acher Gangilon, just like in the beginning, we find that something else can make Bittel, meaning if it's buried together with something if you bury together with that which should produce Rekev with something that does not produce Rekev, then it's not Metame Berekev, because the thing that's also his Rakev is going to be mixed in with if you bury it together with a foreign matter, you bury it with a beged or something like that, then it doesn't produce Rekev, because that which produces Rekev is the body, but the clothing that's decomposing together with it ruins the Rekev of the body and is mevatalit, is mekalkalit, and therefore it doesn't have a din of Rekev. So af sofo, so too, once it's already become Rekev, naslo davaracher gangilon, something else mixed with it, like a little bit of dirt, will be mevatalit. And that's the svara of Rabbi Shimon. Tanakama holds that you don't compare tchilaso to sofo, it's totally different. By tchilaso, something else was mixed in before it ever had a shem tumas rekev, and therefore that foreign substance could prevent the tumas rekev from becoming tamei. As opposed to over here, you already had tumas rekev. Dropping a couple of granules of dirt in it is not going to change the tumas rekev. So mayhi, what's the din that Rabbi said that a meis petchilaso makes davar acher gangilo, and that it's going to prevent the tumas rekev from being chal? Yeah, detanya, we have a brisa that says just like this. Ezu meis sheyesh lo rekev. What kind of meis actually has rekev? Ezu meis sheyin lo rekev. And what kind of meis does not produce this tumas rekev? So the gemara, so the brisa explains. Nikbar aron ba aron shel shayish. If a person is buried totally unclothed in a marble aron, or al gabe ritzpah shel avanim, or on a stone, and it's not mixed with, there's nothing else mixed in, zeh meis sheyesh lo rekev. The decomposing matter of such a dead body, that is rekev. Veizu meis sheyin lo rekev. Nikvar b'ksuso, if a mace is buried with clothing, oba aron shel eitz, or in a wooden coffin, al gabe ritzpah shel levanim, or on bricks, zeh meis sheyin lo rekev. That's a mace that doesn't have rekev, because the rekev mixes in with the decomposing matter or with the disintegrating matter of the clothing or the eitz or whatever else is around it, and that's what Rabbi was saying, that davar acher nasa gangilon b'tchilaso, that at the beginning, before the mace ever turned into rekev, it will prevent it from becoming rekev when it's mixed with something else. Rekev is only mitame when someone dies bidei shamayim, where his body is fully intact. Lemuute harug, as opposed to someone who's murdered, delo, where it's not going to produce rekev because it's already missing. Some parts of the body are already missing. The person was stabbed or shot or something like that. So blood comes out, there's a hole in the body, so that's already won't be able to produce tumas rekev. So we said that a tarvid rekev that a little bit of dirt falls into is no longer going to have tumas rekev, according to Rabbi Shimon. So gufa. Melot Avred Rekav Shenafel Utocha Ofer Kol Shu Tamei, Rabbi Shimon Mitaher. Tanakama holds it's still going to be Tamei, but Rabbi Shimon is Mitaher. Melot Avred Rekav Shenispazer Babayis. Let's say you take a spoonful of Rekav, a ladle full of Rekav, and you scatter it around the house and it mixes with the offer of the Bayis. Habayis Tamei, Rabbi Shimon Mitaher. The Tanakama says the Bayis is going to be Tamei, but Oel Ameis! And Rabbi Shimon says it's going to be Tahar. Says Mara Utricha, why do you need to tell me the same Achlokas twice? Meaning the point is that the Rekev is mixed with dirt, so the question is, does it still have a din of Tumas Rekev or not? So it's the same Machlokas, so Tzricha. Now we need to be told both of these examples. The Yeshmin Kamaisa, if it only would have told me a case of Melot Tavrid where a little bit of dirt fell in, a kulshu of Afar fell in, I would say by Hikami Rabbanan, that's where the Rabbanan say that it's Mitame Mishum de Mechanif, because the Rekev is gathered in one place, Aval Nispazer, but once it's scattered all over a house, Eimah Modelo Rabbi Shimon Shimon, I would think that the Chamra Modetz Rabbi Shimon, that it's not Metame, because then there's another Svara to be Metayer, Dein Mayil V'chozer Mayil, that since the Rekav is spread out through the entire house, the bias is not Mayil on the entire Melo Tavrit in one spot, it's Mayil on Chatzai Yishir all over the place, and that's like Shnei Ohalim, where each one is Mayil on a Chatzai Yishir, and it's not going to be Metzdarif. V'yashmin Bahan, if it only would have told me the Machlokas about the Rekav that's Nispazer throughout the house, I would say Baham Rabbi Shimon to Ein Mayil V'chazer Mayil. That's where Rabbi Shimon holds that the bias is Tar. Avul Baha, but when you have a Melo Tavrit Rekav where you just happen to drop a couple of granules of dirt into it, Ein Mimodul the Rabbanan, I would think that even Rabbi Shimon would agree to the Rabbanan that it's going to be Tameh. Tzricha, that's why we need both cases. Okay, once we're on this, the topic of Tumas Rekav, Tanya Idach, we have another Braisa. Melo Tavrit V'od Afar Beis HaKvaros. Let's say you take a Melo Tavrit and a little bit extra, beyond the Melo Tavrit, of dirt from the Beis HaKvaros, where dirt where a person was buried, and therefore there's Rekav HaMes there, and the Mes was buried with his clothing or in the Karka without an Aron, so he gets mixed in with the dirt of the cemetery. So Tameh, Rabbi Shimon Metayer. Tanakama says Tameh, Rabbi Shimon says Tzahar. Mai Tameh Rabbanan, why did the Rabbanan think Tameh? That if you have a Melo Tavrit Va'od from the dirt of the Beis HaKvaros, you always have at least a Melo Tavrit Rekav in there. The Hashada Amrit. Okay, so now let's bring it back home. Meaning, our sugya is not supposed to be about a Melo Tavrit Rekav. We were talking about a Shilya. So now that we explained that the sheet of Rabbi Shimon is based on the idea of Sofo Kitchilasa, that just like foreign matter being mixed in with the dead body will prevent the dead body from producing Rekav in the first place, so too, once it's already Rekav, introducing a foreign matter like dirt into it will also prevent Tumas Rekav. So what's Rabbi Shimon's by the Shilya, that the bias is Tahar. The Tumah of the Shilya is because it's considered the Netzel of a mace. The din of Gangilon was said only by Rekev, not by Netzel of a mace. So Rabbi Yochanan explains the Svar of Rabbi Shimon as far as the Shilya differently. Am Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Bittul Berov Naguba. It's not because it's Nasa Gangilon, where even if you modify it a little bit, if one little foreign substance is put into it, it ruins the whole thing. No, this is classic Bittul Berov. That there's enough other stuff together with the baby that it's mevatelit. Vaz Rabbi Yochanan Tameh, and this is Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan explaining the sheet of Rabbi Shimon is very much l'shita so. Dam Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Amr Davar Echad. The Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov both hold that Bittul Berov helps by a vlad that is disintegrated. Rabbi Shimon Hadamaran, Rabbi Shimon is exactly our case of the Shilya and the bias, that the bias is going to be tar because it's totally disintegrated. And Rabbi Eliezer, Ditanya, Rabbi Elazar is in the following, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is in the following Braisa. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Behema Gasa. If you have a large animal that never gave birth, Sheshafa Chareres Dam, that was mapil a clot of blood. Harezu Tikaver, you should bury that Charara because it's Asr Ba'ana, you have to be Choshesh. That it was a disintegrated male vlad that and it's therefore kadosh b'bechora. Meaning here you have an animal never gave birth before, so its firstborn animal is going to have kedushas bechor, and all of a sudden chararas dam pops out of this animal. You have to assume that was the bechor, and therefore a petura mina bechora. If its next baby, it does not have to be given to the kohen; it's going to be potter from bechor. V'tani Rabbi Chiya Allah, and Rabbi Chiya says about this mishnah: Na einu metama lo b'maga v'lo b'masa. That Chararas Dam is not Tameh B'magor B'masa, meaning it doesn't have a din of a nevela. So the Gemara is assuming that the reason is, because we're not Choshesh, that there was a Vlad there. So ask the Gemara, Ma'ak She'en Metam Lo Magor V'lo Masa, if there's no Vlad there, and that's why it's not a nevela, I might cover. Why does the Mishnah say that you need to bury it? So he said, K'dei L'farsima She'ptur Min HaBechora. We need to bury it in order to be Mepharsim, that this mother is now part from Bechora, that any of its future children are going to be part from Bechora. Because this thing that we buried was the petarechem. It was the first thing out of the rechem. Alma Vlad Ma'aliyahu. So it sounds like it's part from Bechora because it's a Vlad Ma'aliyah, it's a real Vlad. So if it's a real Vlad, how come it doesn't have Tumas Magal Masa? So the lack of Tumas Magal Masa suggests that we don't think it's a real Vlad. So Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Bittel Barov Naguba, the explanation of the Shita of Rabbi Loz Ben Yaakov is that it's Bittel Barov. The fact that it's not Matam Magal Masa is not because there's no Vlad. There is a Vlad. It's just that the Vlad disintegrated and it became Bittel in the Rov of the Dam Leda. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan said, that Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Lazar were holich b'shita achas, right? That they're both following the same shita, that there is this notion of bittul barov. So Gemara brings another halacha relating to Ashilya, according to Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah, who holds that Ashilya b'bayis, the bayis is tahar. Amr Rabbi Yochanan, umod Rabbi Shimon, she'imo t'mei aleda. Rabbi Shimon is mod in our Mishnah, even though the bayis is tahar, because the vlad was nimok, the vlad is disintegrated, is bittul barov, whatever, the mother is still going to be Tmei Leda, because as far as Tumas Leda, even a Vlad that's Nimok, even a Vlad that's Machui, a Vlad that's disintegrated, is still considered a Vlad. Much like by Bechora, we said that it's still called a Petarechem when the next animal that the Bechora, the next baby that this animal is going to give birth to is not going to be a Bechor, but the actual Tumah of the Vlad is not a Tumas Nevel. So over here also, by the human being, the Tumah is not a Tumah of a mace, but the mother is going to be Tumah. Explain the reason for Rabbi Yochanan. Damar kra, isha ki sazria v'yolda zachar, afilu lo yolda el ke'en shehizria t'mei aleda. Even if that which she gave birth to was similar to that which she was mazria 9 months earlier, meaning it was just a liquefied substance, it wasn't any tsuras of vlad, still she could be t'mei aleda. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Reish Lakish. Oh, man.